Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever heard the term fickle faith? Fickle as in F-I-C-K-L-E. Fickle faith. It kind of comes about when somebody believes in Jesus, especially back when he was walking the earth. They believe in Jesus because of the miracles that he's done. But then they heard or hear a discourse from Jesus, something that he has said that does not resonate with them in a positive way. He's putting them on the spot, perhaps. But then their faith kind of wavers and more or less disappears. They disapprove of what it is Jesus is saying. But now in this pericope, the section of scripture that you heard read, Jesus kind of lays down what separates fickle faith, spurious faith, from true faith. So what does it mean when Jesus tells us, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples? If you continue in my word. Well, the Greek word that we translate as continue in this particular text also has the meaning of abide, or reside, or live, remain, or stay. If you remain in my word, if you stay in my word, if you reside in my word, in other words, if you live in my word, if you live my word. To continue in Christ's word is to embrace him by faith and perseverance, and to persevere in that faith, no matter what hardship may come your way, whatever is on your mind, give it to Christ, as you heard Justin say. Give it to Christ and persevere, endure, whatever it takes. You start as a disciple, then remain as a disciple. To continue in Christ's word is to live him, to live him, to do our best, to be exactly like him in as many particulars as we can humanly do, to put him on, so to speak, to do our very best to live as Jesus would have us live, to love God, to love our neighbors, to love one another as he has loved us, to do unto others as we would have done unto us. Now in Christ's word, the words that he shares with us, the word that he directs to us, there's no ambiguity. There's no mistaking what he says to us. His word is emphatic. He tells us to love, and he means to love. He tells us to obey, and he means to obey. He tells us to continue in his word is to continue in his word. There's no mistaking it. No mistaking it at all. Now, you may not like everything he says, but quite frankly, that doesn't matter. He said it. Do your best to do it, whether you like it or not. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love some of these verses. Cynthia would tell you if you asked, he's always spouting off in Greek. I do, because I love them. They have a particular resonance with me, and I enjoy it. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus Christ is the truth. He's the truth in person. He's made known the eternal God to us because he is the eternal God. You know, Martin Luther described us as simultaneously saint and sinner. Now, I could impress you by saying it in Latin, but quite frankly, I don't find it very impressive when a pastor does that, so I won't. but we are simultaneously saint and sinner. That is, we're redeemed sinners. We're forgiven sinners. We're sinners that, at least for the few moments we're sin-free, we have been made whole. Being human, we're going to sin again. I remember back in the days when we all, well, we still do, we kneel around the altar here and take communion after our sins have been forgiven. And for a few precious moments, I would think to myself, I'm without sin. I wonder how long I can make it last. Then she would come and find me during the service or after the service, and I'd be with sin again. Sin. Get it? You should have had a drum roll there, Kyle. But that's okay. Anyway, we are redeemed sinners, but we are still sinners. We're exiles on the way home. We are nomads, people of the tent. Pilgrims in the Exodus, if you will. We're waiting for the promised land. Now, Jesus is leading us. He's walking beside us. He's in us. But we still sin. And this earth is not our permanent home. We're simply passing through. Yeah, I own a house. I'm retired. I used to have a job. All that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. We're just passing through. And much as we try, we are still sinners. Sometimes unknowingly, other times quite willingly. Denial, for instance. Denial, pointing the finger at others, can become a way of life. So much so that bondage to sin can sometimes be preferable to freedom. Pointing the fingers at others is a very convenient way of drawing attention from our own brokenness. We can be very adept at tuning out the pain of the world, cushioning ourselves from the suffering of those who are hungry, those who are abused or poor, those who are persecuted or weak, turning away from the refugee. When we let other things, such as political beliefs, get in the way of our faith, when we let wealth or the desire for power, when we look at the lures and temptations of the world and they're just too tempting and we give in, we're sinning. And you may be thinking, oh, there he goes again. You've heard me talk about this kind of stuff before, and you've heard Pastor Scott talk about it, and those of you who went back far enough would have heard Pastor Mike or Pastor Staub talk about it. This is what we talk about. Jesus tells us that anyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Now, we here often think that we don't sin, at least not very often. But even if that's true, we are still slaves to sin. And we run the risk of thinking that we're basically pretty good. And this stuff about sinning, well, it doesn't really apply to us, does it? Well, yes, it does. Because the truth is, there's no pride of place. There's no pedigree or race, denomination, anything like that can assure us of a place in the household of God. Can't be done. It's all human. We may be Americans, but that doesn't matter in the slightest. It does not assure us a place in the household of God. It's hard to listen to this. I realize that. Because we generally have a fairly decent opinion of ourselves. But That opinion of ourselves isn't always warranted. At times we find it very hard to face the truth about our lives. So much so that at times we have a difficult time hearing what Christ is saying to us. You know, yes, it goes in one ear, but I hate to say it, but it comes out the other. We don't listen. We don't want to listen because we don't find what he is saying to be particularly attractive to us. And that's the truth. But it hurts to hear it. It hurts to realize it in yourself. My dear friends, Christian recovery began with confession and repentance, forgiveness of our sins, because the truth will make you free. Christ is the truth, and he died for us, and he forgives us our sins. It's not a ticket to go out and sin, but Christ knows our humanity. He knows how we often give in to temptation. He was tempted too. He didn't give in, but he was tempted. I want to share I want to share Luther's thoughts on the Romans pericope that you heard. Can you put that on the screen? Thank you. It's just part of the Romans text that you heard read. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a sacrifice of atonement by his blood, effective through faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he passed over the sins previously committed, and it was to demonstrate that at the present time, his own righteousness, so that he is righteousness and he justifies the one who has faith in Jesus. You know, Martin Luther thought this section that you just heard read again, that you saw up on the screen, was the chief point, the very central place of the Epistle of Romans, and not only that, but of the whole Bible. For in just a few verses, we've got the righteousness of God, justification, a shift in salvation history, faith, redemption, grace, propitiation, forgiveness, and the justice of God. Now, you've heard the word righteousness quite a bit in this reading. Think of it as the process by which God acts to put people in a right relationship with himself. In other words, God does the work. God does it all. We do nothing. We'd like to think we're doing something, that we're participating, but we're not. God does it all. So if the Son sets you free, think about this for a moment. If the Son of God sets you free, if God eternal sets you free, you will be free indeed. Liberated from the tyranny of sin. True freedom is not to do anything we please, but the liberty to do as we ought. The liberty to do as we ought to do. And that is genuine liberty, because doing what we ought not only pleases us and the Spirit within, but it pleases God. I can tell you, it's easier said than done. But that doesn't mean that we stop trying, that we stop seeking forgiveness. God's righteousness is available to all who put their faith in Christ. And this is solely the grace of God. God's justifying verdict is totally unmerited. We have done and can do nothing to earn it. We can't earn it through works or the law, but only through faith. It is through grace that we are saints. Through grace and grace alone, solely the grace of God. We are saved by grace through faith. Faith in Christ Jesus and in his sacrifice of himself on the cross. It's a gift of God. The Son has made us free. And we are free indeed. Amen.